Today's April 9th, 2024. Current Bitcoin price is $68,659.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
What's going on, Rick?
Oh, not much. Just checking out the price of Bitcoin.
Checking out the price of Bitcoin, the Bitcoin price that's all over the place.
It's all over the place.
All over. I think last time we were recorded, we were talking about there was a wedge that was in place, like, and Bitcoin was kind of coiling through it. And I had thought we were kind of getting it, we were going to get the break right around, I think I was saying like the 17th or something like that. But it broke out above that ahead of time, and then now it's back in that channel again.
Yeah, it faked us all out.
Yeah.
Monday.
Well, and I mean, realistically, this could still be a fake out to break out. Like, it could go back into here and then shoot back up. I mean, because based off the move, I think that the charting experts say that, like, when you have a chart like this and you have something that's bullish, you have a 70% chance it's going to break to the upside. And if it does, that put the target at like 84,000 based off the previous, or, you know, based off these patterns. And then a 30% possible breakdown to the downside. So, I mean, it's still, I don't know if it makes it completely invalid. I don't know enough about charting, but we may see like a break up in the 84,000 range, or we may not.
Well, that's the thing. The people who do that stock technical analysis, I mean, they just go on things based on probabilities, but I mean, there's always that possibility it goes the exact opposite direction and all the signs point that it's going to go. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they call it astrology for men,
basically.
I mean, you got some pretty good odds there. Like, I mean, the probabilities, the problem is that probability thing, it could always, like you say, there's nothing that's a surefire bet.
Definitely.
So before we really kind of get going today, what's our theoretical Bitcoin purchase at?
Okay, so October 27th, 3,000 Bitcoin, or $3,000 of Bitcoin was 0.0885 Bitcoin, and with the new price that you listed at the beginning of the episode, the $3,000 is now 6,076.
Okay, so we're a little bit better than last time when we recorded, about $53.
Yep. We're still double the money, so that's not too bad.
No, it's fine. It's still good. It's been kind of a roller coaster ride for sure, and I think a lot of people are just kind of, they're waiting on the halving, wondering when it's going to happen. But then at the same time, like, we had that kind of breakout that took place early on Monday, and then we even still had a negative days of outflows on the ETF that day. Grayscale is continuing to sell and like sell hard. Another one of the biggest days that we'd seen in a while actually happened on Monday. And, you know, it didn't drive the price down that far until today. And then the price kind of fell, you know, it just kind of collapsed. So
yeah, going up to 71 ish almost. So actually it was like 72, wasn't it, Monday?
Yeah, it got up to 72. Looks like it's 72,760 right in there. You know, we talked about like the uncertainty of what's going on with the halving. You know, what's that going to do to the price that day? And we were actually kind of looking to see what the halving clock is, and what we've found three different dates. I mean, they're pretty close.
Close-ish.
9 hours and 21 minutes.
It could be on the 19th or the 20th.
Yeah.
Smoke them if you got them. I don't know. Actually, I kind of wrote a newsletter yesterday about just kind of what the Bitcoin price does, you know, especially around the halving. If you like look at the halving and you look 6 months after the halving and then you look at the all-time high, like the price just skyrockets in between the halving, the 6 months, and then the all-time. Yeah. But it never comes back down below the halving price or the 6 month later price. And it's always a positive trend after that. So,
well, until this last cycle.
Well, I'm just saying, well, no, like the halving price, the previous halving price. So it was like $9,000 and then it rose up to like, I think it was like 12,000. I'm going off of memory, but it never went back down to 12,000 before. So,
well, but then in the last cycle, the previous cycle before this one, it went up to 20, right? And then we went up 69,000. And when it came back down, it went down to 15.
Yes.
So
it's not the all-time high price. I'm talking about the halving price. So when you buy...
Okay. I see what you're saying.
It's always a good investment.
I see what you're saying. Okay. So which... Yeah. Okay. Now I get what you're saying. I thought you were talking about it never goes back down to the all-time high. I'm like, no, but it did. So yeah, no, the previous halving price, like it's never gone back to that level.
Yes.
So this time, what you're saying is that halving price this time was, what was the halving price for this one? Do you remember?
Well, the previous one in 2020 was 9,000.
Okay.
We'll just say 9,000.
And then, yeah, and we never came back down that low again. So this time now, having price is going to be about 60,000 to 70,000, somewhere in that range. We don't know exactly yet. And so you're according to previous data, it's never going to come back down to that level again.
Yep. According to the previous patterns. I mean, granted, nothing's written in stone, but just how things have gone. I mean, it doesn't even come, whatever the price is going to be 6 months from now, it usually does not take off until sometime several months after the halving.
Yeah.
But when it takes off, it goes on a meteoric rise. That's insane.
Well, and you were kind of talking about something before we really got going was, you know, looking at the outflows from Grayscale, they'll be out of Bitcoin by July.
One can hope. that's what the reports say. But, I mean, yeah, they just keep bleeding it out and bleeding it out. It's just fascinating to watch it. And, you know, I thought, you know, the kind of outflows that they've been having, you'd think that they would have run out sooner. I mean, they've been doing this for 3 months now.
Yeah. Yeah, so you can figure at some point they got to plug. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. It's kind of crazy. And I think they talked about doing a micro BTC ETF or something like that that Grayscale wants to launch. And I thought they were going to transfer a bunch of their funds into that, but we still haven't seen that materialize yet, and it still hasn't stopped any outflows. So, I don't know. It's one of those things. What do you do? Like, I mean, if you're charging the biggest fee on the block and everybody else is, you know, sub 1%, of course you're going to lose customers.
Yeah, they're going to just jump out immediately. I mean, can you imagine waiting for the price to peak and then getting out?
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah, well, and the other thing, too, that happens around this time of year is, in the United States, at least, we have tax season, like, is happening now. So you have some people that are selling to either shore up taxes that they've got to pay, whatever they've got to do. So some of that, there's still some added pressure that goes along with that, and that's going to continue at least till the 15th, I would assume.
No, that totally makes sense, especially for people who do trade, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Got to liquidate something to pay the tax man.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, right now, I still don't know. We were looking at the ETF flows table before we kind of got going, and we're showing 154.9 out of Grayscale again today, and this is all coming off the far side from UK, not the comic strip. but they don't show any purchases from IBIT today, so I don't know how current this is. I wonder if they're still waiting on data. We've got the halving coming up right now, like we were saying, 9 days, 21 hours, according to this clock. And then CPI data should be coming out tomorrow, right?
Yes. I can't wait to be gaslit further by the in current administration. It's going to be awesome.
And what were they saying was the prediction for tomorrow?
Well, all the sources around the world say that it's going to be 3.4%.
Okay.
Which is up from the 3.2%.
Right. From the previous month.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, I don't know exactly what the game is, but the last thing I heard, and don't quote me on this, I I don't have it written out, but I remember listening to Jerome Powell talk about it. And he's basically saying that 2% is basically over. I mean, that's not exactly what he said, but that's what he was alluding to. He's like, as inflation's stickier than we, you know, whatever. He's putting it in, you know, his flowery language, but he's basically saying the hope of ever getting inflation down to 2% is just gone.
Really?
Yeah.
That's kind of interesting.
So, you know, I just wonder, and the other kind of crazy thing is just the amount of deficits that we are running as a nation. Like, the only time deficits were as bad as this was when we were in the middle of World War II.
Yeah.
And so at a peacetime economy where our government's running the craziest amount of deficits ever. So, well, all I can say is that keep stacking them sats. That's the only advice. It's not financial advice, but
there's been a lot of discussion right now too, that we may not see any, you know, interest rate cuts. However, you know, politically speaking, that Biden wants it to happen.
Yeah. Well, I think the federal government wants it to happen because the interest rates play a huge role in the amount of, you know, not just debt payments, but the interest alone on the debt that's like gaining $1 trillion every, how often now?
It's 100 days. It's 100 days.
100 days.
Yeah. $1 trillion every 100 days.
I mean, it only took the federal government, you know, I don't know, when did the debt get to $1 trillion? In sometime like in the late 80s, early 90s?
Yeah.
And now we're at 34 trillion or 35 or whatever it is now. Insane.
Yeah. No, it's unsustainable. And I mean, because they can refinance the debt for cheaper if interest rates are lower. And right now they can't do that. So that helps cut that down. But of course, you know, we'll have to kind of see how that plays out. I mean, really, that's the biggest thing. And that's going to be like, that'll be huge news tomorrow. If that CPI number comes in lower than 3.4 or even lower than 3.2, all your stock markets, your Bitcoin, all that stuff's going to take off. I don't expect that to happen. I don't at all. I think it's probably going to come in. I think they're probably right with the 3.4. But tomorrow, if we get a print from the Fed and CPI comes in below that 3.4 or below 3.2, yeah, I think we're going to see a crazy pop off from all the equity markets and Bitcoin and all that stuff.
I don't disagree with you. I don't trust the source anymore.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. So, and really not a whole lot of other news. I thought there was some stuff coming out of El Salvador, but it seems like that stuff that they're planning on doing in the future. Looks like Nayib Bukele is going to be trying to do a debt buyback program. So that's good. Good for them. I wish United States would get on the same page and actually become fiscally responsible, but I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon.
No, and I'm going to say something a little bit controversial about that, but, you know, we keep getting told that democracies are the best government that there is, but I think, especially representative democracies, they're kind of the worst. They bring out the worst because the incentive for all the politicians in office now is to kick the can down the road and keep the gravy train running. Fiscal responsibility is going to get you unelected. So,
well, and the only thing I would say that's kind of a counterbalance to that is that it's a representative democracy when there's no hard currency behind it.
You know, that's true. I mean, ever since 71, when we went off the gold standard, well, we were off it before that, but when it was officially we're off, that's when it went, oh, wow.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, because if you can't write all kinds of checks, whatever you want, to make things happen, then guess what? All of a sudden you are held accountable for things that you have to do, like within reason and within your limits.
Yep. And that's what Bitcoin takes care of. It removes the printing press from the state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, from anybody. You have no control over it at that point. So, yeah. And there was a newsletter that Rick just came out with the other day, and I think he was working on another one to come out here pretty soon. Might be kind of interesting to see, too, with some of the CPI data that comes out. So If you want to sign up for that, you can sign up for the newsletter at www.thebitbytepodcast.com/signup. And when you do sign up for that, you also get your checklist for your cold storage or your self-custody. And then we still always have the links for the Ledger and the Elipal wallets. They are direct links on our website to buy directly from the manufacturer, but we do get a kickback if you purchase from there. So sign up for the newsletter and get yourself a hardware wallet. Become secure.
That's right. Not your keys, not your crypto.
Amen. Was there anything else you wanted to bring up today, Rick?
That's it.
All right. Well, thank you all for listening, and we will talk to y'all soon.
Bye.